Should have turned with me to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. If you'll put it on the screen back there, dear lady, I want you to hear these words. They're powerful words. Actually, these words are the words to live by. If you want to be happy, when Abram was 99 years old, when he was 99 years old, he was still looking for a baby. Did you hear that? When he was 99, he was still looking for a baby. Honey, if I thought she was pregnant, I'd lay right there and die. Amen. I don't want any more babies. That's for the young. Amen. But here is Abram still looking for the baby of promise, because at 75, God told him he was going to have a baby. Him and Sarai were going to have a baby. And he came rushing into the tent and said, "Sarai, I just heard from God, and we're going to have a baby." You think that's the way he came in? No. He was 75 years old. He came in that tent going, "Hey, I just heard from God. We're going to have a baby." I imagine she responded by, "Stay away from me." But she responded by saying, "I'm past the flower of my age. This is impossible. I've already gone through menopausal period. It's impossible for me." Did you hear that word? Impossible for me to have a child. Ladies and gentlemen, understand, with man, it's impossible. You didn't hear that. I'm going to say it again. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You believe that? Clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But here is Abram, 99 years old. Now, when he was younger than that, let me go to that scripture. I want to give it to you in verbatim. When he was 86 years old, a mistake was made. Sarai said, "Marry Ishmael and have a baby with her, because it's impossible for me." Again, it's impossible for me to have a child. I passed the flower of my age. God just misunderstood the situation. Hello? And he just doesn't realize what's going on in my body, and there's no way for me to have a child. So have a baby with Hagar. And he did. There's not a woman in this room that would ever tell her wife or husband to go marry somebody else. Right? And here it is. She told him, "Go marry her. Have a baby by her." And he did. Ishmael was born. Now, verse 12 of chapter 16 tells us what the Arab world will become or would be, because he is the beginning of the Arab world. Ishmael started the Arab world. Do you want to know who was the person responsible for 9/11? You have all these people, especially on the National Enquirer magazine or something, so-and-so is responsible for 9/11. No. None of them are responsible. The ones that are responsible are Abram and Sarai. Why? Because they got in God's way. Have you ever heard anybody make the statement, "I've been in the way for 40 years. Never have the words been truer spoken. They have been in the way for 40 years. You have to get out of the way and let God do his work. You have to, are you ready for this? Trust God. I'm going to say it again. Trust God. In fact, the purest form, I'm going to say this, and hear it clearly. The purest form of reality or humility, reality of life and humility of living before God, is trust. I just said a mouthful. Anybody hear what I just said? See, that's so hard for us because of this. I hate this stuff. You ladies paint it and pluck it and hang things on it, and you men try to build your muscles, but I got news for you. This causes you not to trust God. You look at it in a materialistic way, in a fleshy way, in a human spirit way, when you've got to push that out of the way and trust God. Everybody shout the word trust God. Say it with me.
Trust God.
One more time. 1, 2, 3.
Trust.
Turn around and look at somebody and say, trust God. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. Here is Abram. He hasn't heard from God for 13 years. The mistake was made when he was 86. Ishmael was born. And here it is, chapter 17, verse 1, and that's the first time he hears from God. That's why Paul said, Abram staggered not. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? Oh, Lord, help me to preach this morning. Because he was fully persuaded. You know what's wrong with a lot of saints sitting on a lot of pews in a lot of churches? They ain't fully persuaded. They hear the preacher and it goes in one ear and right out the other ear. I got news for you, friend. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I'm fully persuaded that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. I'm persuaded if Jonah swallowed the whale. It doesn't matter if it's in the Word of God. I believe it from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm fully persuaded because that's the Word. Jeremiah 29:11, I've got good thoughts for you. Not bad thoughts, but good thoughts. He thinks about us in purity. He thinks about us in blessing. He thinks about us in taking care of us. He wants to take care of us. No, you didn't hear what I said. He wants to take care of us. He wants to supply our needs according to his riches and glory. He wants to open that door you've been praying about. He wants, ladies and gentlemen, to build that bridge. He wants to show you his mighty power. What's wrong, Brother Brock? We're not fully persuaded. We don't totally believe in him. That's why he started off the discourse by saying, 13 years I ain't talked to you. I got one thing to say, or I should say three things to say. Number one, I am the Almighty God. Pastor, if I could convince your saints of that one word, you'd blow this place apart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I could just convince you that God is the Almighty, I believe he's the Almighty. Act like it then. Now, notice this. Let me talk about these words for a minute. I am the Almighty. I love the word I am. That's two statements in one. I am the Almighty God. I am. He loved to use the words, his name, I am. When Moses stood before the burning bush that was not being consumed, I don't know about you, that would have scared me half to death. I could not figure out what in the world is happening. This is not falling to ash. And then all of a sudden, out of the bush, you hear, Moses. I'd have fainted right there. That I don't know if he fainted or not, but I would have. I'd have stepped, my dear God. Why do we always think God's got a deep voice? But anyway, Moses. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. I guarantee took that Jew 15 minutes to get those sandals off. Amen. Scared to death. And then he hears he's going to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage that's been for over 400 years. Lord, they've been in that bondage for 400 years. You're going to be the one to deliver them. And he's a stutterer. Me? That's the way some of us stand before the throne of Almighty God. Me? I mean, you'll bless me. You'll pour out your spirit upon little old me. Yeah, little old you. He sent his son to die for you, that in the name of Jesus you can obtain all the blessings. Oh, I'm about to shout right now. You can obtain all the blessings of God in your life. If you're fully persuaded, if you believe. Amen. But he tells him, you're going to be the one to deliver Israel. Well, who am I going to say sent me? God told him to say to his people, I am that I am. I love the way you use that phrase. I've heard preachers, pastor, preach that sermon, I am that I am. No, you got to say it like it ought to be said. I am that I am. You need healing in your body? I'm that. You got a financial need that needs to be supplied? I'm that. Whatever your problems are, whatever your mountains are, whatever your valleys are, whatever your difficulties are, I am that I am. Oh, hallelujah. If you believe that, shout aloud, amen. And then he said, oh, I love this. Are you ready for this? The Almighty God, which is El Shaddai, the many-breasted God. In other words, no one goes lacking. If you've got the faith, You got people blessed right here on the front row all the way to the back row. There is no difference. I said there's no difference. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I had a preacher one time. I got so amused. I was in a California in a meeting. There was a bunch of American Mexicans in that service. And the pastor, as he was introducing the speaker that night, made the statement, "This man has an urn doctorate." First of all, I don't know if those precious Latino people understood what he was saying, nor could figure out urn doctorate. And even while he was preaching, he said, "I have an urn doctorate." In other words, he went to school. I told that to another gentleman, and he said, "You know, I have 4 doctorates, and he's no different than you and I. He doesn't act like he's somebody because he has 4 doctorates, 3 of them earned, 1 of them given to him." He said, "You know what? Anybody can get a doctorate. If they go to school long enough, they'll get a doctorate. But if you make that doctorate bigger than God is, you've made a big mistake, because education, ladies and gentlemen, will make you bigger of what you are." That's right, Brother Brock. I know it's right, and I'm going to keep on preaching it. Amen. It'll make you bigger what you are. If you're a nut, it'll make you a bigger nut. If you're a fool, it'll make you a bigger fool. But if you're a humble individual, it'll make you more humble, because you have the education to understand the reality of God. Amen. But here he is, the many-breasted God. You don't have to go to school for 8 years to get a doctorate with him. All you got to do is believe. And then he said, oh, I love these powerful words, "Walk before me. Walk like I'm an almighty God." Some of you came in the service this morning, bottom lip out like a back porch. Your song as you came through the door, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." This great choir was singing, "Oh, what a Savior." Oh, that blessed me so much. Oh, hallelujah, his heart was broken. On Calvary, hallelujah. And some of you sat there, "If he only knew the problem I'm going through, if he only knew the battle I'm fighting today." Leave your battles on the outside. Come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. What if I've been gone from home, and I come home and I grab my wife, give her a big kiss, being intimate with my wife, saying, "Judy, I love you. You're the most precious person in all the world to me. Judy, I thank God for you." Of course, her name is Pat. Hello. She's half Cherokee, 4th cousin past of Jesse James. I walk the line for more reasons than one, but I know exactly what would happen if I called her some other name than her name. Come on, amen. She's got a mean right cross. How do you know, Brother Brock? Well, she's got a mean right cross. I may just put it that way. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, when you come into this sanctuary, don't carry your burdens in here with you. Put them on the outside. Come in here. Bless his name. Why? Why? Because the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generation. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is good. He's always good. He's never bad. I'm bad. All of you are bad sometimes because you are flesh and because you're human. You can be bad. But God's never bad. He's good for us at all times. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you walked into the presence of God and said, "God, I need your help." "Oh, get out of here. I'm having a bad day. Leave me alone." No, every time you come before him, he's there to listen to you. The Lord is good. His mercy endureth to all generations. His mercy is there. One of the greatest songs I ever heard in my life was, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." And what blesses me about that song, when you think about it, that minuscule second, half a second past midnight, God's used his mercy upon you all day, but just past midnight, it begins all over again. "They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Anybody hearing what I'm saying? Anybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? Listen to me. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? His mercy, his truth, His truth. Now, just hang on a minute. November's coming in 2016. We're going to hear more lies than you've ever heard between here and now. Amen. Now and then, I should say. Every politician and his brother's going to tell you lie after lie after lie to get a vote out of your pocket. Somebody said, oh, yes, what are we going to do? Trust God, because God is in control. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm a Christian. So I can say anything I want to say. Come on. Amen. I'm trusting God that His will be done. What if this happens? What if that happens? Trust God. Perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, but trust God. Walk. This world needs to see you walk. Walk. Paul the Apostle said, walk as a child of the light. You're not a child of darkness. Walk as a child of light. Two words that are killing us in this country. First word, stress. Stress started in California and came this way. Come on, amen. All of us are under, I'm under stress. Sure you are. Some of you came in the building. Stress. Amen. It's killing us. Number two, it's fast. Everything in this country has to be fast. I'll get it to you tomorrow. No. I want it today. I get it. No. I've got to have it today. Try going 55 miles an hour out there on that freeway. They'll run you over. I live in a town in Atlanta. I live in a town where the speed limit is 85 miles an hour. Are you certain? Are you serious, brother? No. It's 55 miles an hour, but everybody goes 85 miles an hour. I mean, the police can pick and choose who they want to pull over. Everything's got to be fast. You've got a fast food restaurant on every corner in Birmingham, Alabama. Amen. Come on, amen. You don't even have to go in anymore. Just drive by. And you're sitting there by the window saying, come on. Give me my food. I want my food. Give me my food. And when you get your food, it's average American eats their meal in 6 minutes. You know how long it takes your stomach to tell your brain you're full? An average of 15, 20 minutes. You've already ate, left, and your stomach says to your brain, he ate. He what? He ate. What did he eat? I don't know. He ate it and got out of here. Come on. Amen. And we're so busy, and we're so much here and so much there that we don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, outside these four walls, there is a world that needs us. There's a world that needs us to shine our light. Come on. Amen. It doesn't need to see your bottom lip. It doesn't see your bent brow. It doesn't need to see your lack of trust. They need to see that this church of God is a church that believes in the power and the ability and the righteousness of Almighty God. They may not accept you. They may not accept what you believe. But let them know anyway. Amen. Maybe somewhere down the line they'll figure it out. And they'll finally come to God. Thirdly, he said, be thou perfect. Oh, Brother Brock, that's impossible. I can't be perfect. I know that. But you have to understand what that word means. Be thou, and one word put it, one translation put it, blameless. But the best translation I've got is, be thou sincere. That's a big difference. Now, what does sincere mean? Well, it comes from the root word, Latin word, sincere. To understand what sincere means, well, let me put it this way. I'm not a shopper. I do not like to shop. And all the brave men said, I got to go. You're not very brave this morning, gentlemen. I don't like to shop. My wife loves to shop. She'll go into a store, or I should say 2,000 or 3,000 stores. I'll go into one store and pick this, and I'm gone. That's my shop. Okay? Now, understanding that, let's consider a connoisseur of pottery. He loves pottery. And he wants to buy a piece of pottery. So he goes into a pottery shop. Now, like me, I'd go in and say, I like that. I'll take that and leave. He walks in, sees a piece he likes, takes it down from the shelf, puts it out in the sun, because if the proprietor had knocked it off the shelf and it had cracked, all he had to do was put a little more clay in there. And it'd be just as new. Sand it off, it'd be just as new. But if he set it out in the sun, it wouldn't be long until the sun would melt that clay. And he could see the crack, an imperfected piece. Well, this is what God is saying in that statement, be thou perfect, be thou blameless, be thou sincere. Don't let there be any cracks in our relationship. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, Lord, help me to say this under your anointing. Be thou perfect, be thou committed. Are you hearing that? Be thou committed. We live in a day when commitment is a difficult thing. It's hard to find good working, hard working people. They're not committed to it. Husbands not committed to wives. Wives not committed to husbands. It's a strange day in which we're living. But ladies and gentlemen, in your relationship with God, this is the most important place. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? This is the most, because if you don't trust God, if you're not committed to God, if you're not tuned into God, if you're not reading His Word, if you're not praying, then the enemy has you on his list. And he's seeking to kill and destroy anything that he can. You remember Larry McDaniels? I used to preach for Larry all the time in Savannah. I'd go down there probably about every year. And I remember a young family sat on the front row. And I've been a pastor before. I knew how important it was to have good young families. And I told him, I said, that's a good family right there. He said, oh, yeah. He said, they're here every time the doors are open. Went back next year, maybe a couple of years later, and I said, where's the family? He said, well, let me tell you the story. He got into financial difficulty, quit coming to church. You know what's amazing to me? Instead of coming to church, people run from the church. They started laying out Sunday night. They wouldn't go to church. And somebody came by, a friend of his, and told him, he said, I don't want you to use it, I don't want you to sell it, but I want you to keep this coke, crack cocaine. And help me, Jesus. Crack. Keep this crack in your house, and I'll pay you $20,000 a month just to keep it here so the police won't know where it's at. And so that's good. He wasn't spiritually mature. He wasn't spiritually turned in. He wasn't committed. If he would have been committed, no way. I'm not keeping that stuff in my house. He kept it in his house. One night when he should have been in church on a Sunday night, he was at home. His wife said, I wonder what this is all about. So she took some crack cocaine. He did too. Him, didn't bother him one bit. He didn't turn on to it at all. Her, hooked immediately. I said, well, that's not the story. What is all the story? He said, well, he's trying to find the third rehab center to put his wife in. They have lost everything. When you entertain hell's worst, come on, amen. A woodsman down in Louisiana, they got big rattlesnakes from hand to hand, believe me. I've seen him out in the woods. But this guy was a woodsman. He married late. He was about 34. She was about 28. She had a 4-year-old son that he dearly, dearly loved. He married her and immediately adopted the boy. He's out in the woods, found a rattlesnake, caught it, big old rattlesnake. Put it in a box, and he said, I'll hold this rattlesnake until fair time, and then I'll cut him up and make a set of boots out of him, make some money off of him. So he put him in a box, locked the door, put the key in a different place so nobody would find it except an inquisitive 4-year-old boy. And he opened that box, and when he did, out came that snake, wrapped itself around him, and was biting in his neck. When the man finally arrived, he heard the screams. He jerked that snake off, stomped it in the ground, ran him as fast as he could, took him to the ER. And when he walked through the door, he was already dead. And when he walked away from the ER, these were his words. I entertain hell's worst. It took from me heaven's best. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? I have a friend of mine named Dean Brown. Dean doesn't smoke, never has smoked. But he was a singer on some of those buses, and they smoked. And not too long ago, he had cancer. And the first thing the doctor asked him, how long have you smoked? He said, I don't smoke. He said, it's secondhand smoke you got on that bus. Ladies and gentlemen, you entertain sin, sin will destroy you. When you think that's more important than God, it will. Oh. When you think that's more important than God, it will destroy you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It will take from you. It will not give to you. It will take from you. Young men, I don't care how pretty she is. If she doesn't love the church, young ladies, if he doesn't love the church, you can't change him. Oh, I'll change him. I've heard that story before. Come on, amen. Oh, preacher, you don't know why. Oh, yes, I do. I do, because I've seen it too many times. I've heard in counseling where the young lady will say, I'll change him. He'll come to church. No, he won't. He's full of sin. Get the sin out of the man, and the man will get out of sin and become a faithful husband. Come on, amen. Or a faithful wife, whatever the case. The most important thing in your life, young men, the most important, young ladies, every one of you, young couples, sitting. You know what's amazing to me, pastor? I had it happen to me when I was pastoring. Very wonderful family that I finally won to the Lord. They finally came to the Lord. And then they would boo-hoo and cry because they couldn't get their children to come to the house of God. And my Christian director, Christian ed director, Elizabeth Amberger, said to me, they left the church when they were a young couple, before they ever had children, stayed in the world, and then realized where their life was supposed to be, in church. And they came back to church, but they can't get their children to come in with them. You took them there. You didn't hear what I said. You took them there. You'll have a hard time bringing them back with you. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? The key to all of it is what God said to Abram, be thou committed. Come on to the piano. I can preach all morning like I'm feeling right now. Surely the presence of the Lord is in. I'm not going to preach all morning. Don't think that for 1 minute. I don't have the strength to do that, but I feel like it. Because I'm trying to tell you very softly, very softly. Ladies and gentlemen, your commitment is the most important thing I can say to you. Whatever you need from God, He's got it. Whatever your frustrations are, He can take them away. Whatever your ambitions are, He can help you fulfill them. How many, God has ever met your need in your life? Lift your hands way high and shout hallelujah. God has met my need. All of these examples are around you. They're not liars. They're good Alabama folk. Come on, amen. That love God. I don't have time for God. There will be one day you'll have time for God. This is the day. This is the hour that you make that commitment.